This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up?
Sad day.
Good Thursday.
Sad day.
What are you guys doing? Why is it so sad? Why are you bringing us down already?
The Uke, man. The Uke. Yeah, who didn't love Bob Uecker?
Yeah, I think it's funny that I was just listening to Ryan Buckley. Do you know him? He's our producer.
I'm familiar with him.
He
right
just
there.
Did a sports snort there.
Is he wearing, my favorite shirt that he has, the Will Clark caricature shirt.
Yeah, I mean, you caught yourself there, so yeah. I don't even have to.
No.
I do knew that.
I knew.
I was listening to his sports snort, and I was thinking to myself, you know, and I get why, like, this is not a criticism. I get why you had to, like, describe things. I remember the boss, Alan Davis, back when I first started doing sports updates, he would always call me in, and he would say, like, the first time he did it, he would say, "Who's Randy Johnson?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Who's Randy Johnson? Everybody knows who Randy Johnson is. He goes, "No. When you describe Randy Johnson or you're talking about a story in your update about Randy Johnson, you have to say Mariners pitcher or, you know, whatever." So he was trying to teach me a little sports lesson.
Sure.
You know, about doing sports.
Lessons writing. In sports writing.
Exactly. And you know this. So you got to describe Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker passed away, and you have to describe Bob Uecker.
And to be fair, there's probably a lot of casual sports fans that are not aware of Bob Uecker.
Maybe, but there probably are. He's old. But I'm just saying, like, I hate that you had to, well, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
I hate that you have to I should just say rip Bob Uecker, and everybody's like, man. And then you start going through your head of, like, Harry Doyle clips or whatever. I'm just saying, like, it's just, I don't like that we have to just lay out this whole thing. It's like, here's who Bob Uecker was. We know who Bob Uecker was. He was greatness.
I'm willing to guess that if you are under the age of 30, maybe 35, because Major League was, what, 88, 89?
I think even he was in two, and that was even like early 90s, like 92, 93.
Okay, let's be honest. No one saw Major League Major League 3.
That's the last time he was doing it, though.
There's a Major League 3?
I think there's like four.
Back to the minors.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I saw Major League
3
two.
Has none of the cast of the original, and the 2 has very few of the original.
Yeah, I believe there are multiple.
I love Major League.
Oh, and this is the thing. Bob Uecker, for all of his greatness, Bob Uecker played 6 years in Major League Baseball, was the announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers for like 40-something years, maybe longer.
See, here we go again, describing everything about Bob Uecker.
But here's my thing.
53 years.
I would assume that the vast majority of casual sports fans know Bob Uecker from Major League. Major League is for a lot of people, it's on the Mount Rushmore of baseball movies, or it certainly is in the lexicon of pop culture, right? And I think a lot of people know him from that. But if you're under the age of 30, 35, you don't know what Major League is. You probably have no idea.
That's the thing. That movie's now on the fringes of the upcoming sports generation's, you know,
so if you're not familiar with Major League, Bob Uecker hasn't been doing, and I remember the Miller Lite ads, which I absolutely love. Hey, just turn this thing around. I'll be in the front row. I must, you know, those
must be in the front row.
Those were great, but those haven't been around for God knows how many, 30, 40 years. So yes, I do think a lot of younger people today woke up and heard a sports report of Bob Uecker and went, who?
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm just, all I'm saying is I hate that we have to, we have to talk to people as if they don't know who Bob Uecker is. I get it. 25% of people don't know Bob Uecker, so you got to describe him. But 75% know exactly who Bob Uecker is. They know everything you just said and more. And, you know, that's all I'm pointing out.
Yeah. And it pains me a little bit.
I don't even know why I'm pointing that out.
Well, the last time I heard from Bob Uecker,
you heard from him?
Well, not personally.
He texts you?
Well, you know, me and Bob, we would reach out and I'd be like, hey, who's this? And then he'd have to describe who he was. I'm like, oh yeah.
It's me, Uke.
I remember you. No, I think the last time I heard anything about or heard his voice was, unfortunately, we played the call, Pete Alonso in the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
You know, and you could hear the call is, I think he even said, he goes, there's some sting in this one. And then afterwards, he went on and said, I don't know how many more of these I'll be around for. And I remember listening to that, and as happy as I was that the Mets had that awesome moment, I remember hearing Bob Uecker's voice and thinking, crap. Because if anyone deserved to see their team win a World Series, it was Bob Uecker. And to have him say, you know, I'm not certain how many more of these I have. And then, well, that was it. He's not going to get another one.
I think we have the audio.
Yeah.
Do we have the audio?
And the pitch. Hit in the air to right. Deep warning track and gone. Peter Alonso just put New York on top in this one. With a three-run home run to right field. And just like that, a 2-0 lead is now a 3-2 deficit. That quickly.
And that's, I guess that's not, the one that's going around is when he's signing off and he says it's the end of the season and that's when he says that there's a long pause and he says there's some real sting in that one. And then goes on to say who the post game is brought to you by and then says, you know, the part about that for him that stings is doesn't
53
know how many.
53 years.
Yeah, doesn't know how many more.
He was on the call for the Brewers and will not, did not.
No.
Because they have not.
No.
He called the World Series. They haven't won a World Series.
No.
So he didn't get to see one. He was 90 years old, but true greatness, you know.
Still doing the call at 89, by the way.
Yeah, just last year. Norm MacDonald knew Bob Uecker really well before he passed.
There's some funny
and
stories.
He has some great stories about Bob Uecker. Yeah. One, Bob Uecker worked incredibly blue. I don't know if you know that Bob Uecker once opened for Don Rickles. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
1969. He did. Bob Uecker is just classically funny man.
Yeah.
And he got to know Norm, and they'd golf together and everything. And Norm said that he was incredibly blue, and nobody really knows that unless you hang out with him, because he cleans it up for, obviously, when he's speaking and things like that. But he said that he and I think Artie Lang went up to his booth. He invited him up to the booth to sit in with him when he was doing a call for a game once. And Uecker literally with his cough button, we have in broadcasting these little cough buttons where you can just push it. And then anything you say, you're supposed to cough, it just cuts your mic and you guys can't hear it out there. He would press his cough button and start cussing incessantly and making terrible, naughty jokes during each during downtime of the call of the game.
Like a real-life Brockmire almost.
Yeah, he Norm said it was weird because it was like he was doing a show just for us, just for Artie and I sitting in the booth.
And making him just crack up.
Yeah, and so, yeah, Bob Uecker was, I mean, he was the man.
Yep.
You know, funny dude. And
well, it's just, baseball is one of those things, and other sports have it too, but I feel like with baseball...
Andy was on Mr. Belvedere.
He was on Mr. Belvedere. There is, he was in some other stuff as well, but that he was most known for Mr. Belvedere in the Major League movies. But baseball has a unique connection to the play-by-play guys. You know, obviously, you know, whether, you know, college basketball or the NBA, I mean, you know, Mike Barrett or Shawn's or these people that are beloved. But I really do feel like there's something about baseball and the space right in between plays that has to be filled in, and the fact that there's 162 of those games a year. I figure whether it's radio or TV, I just don't think you can get that connection in other sports like you can in baseball.
Well, it's because they're always great storytellers.
Yes.
I mean, the great ones are storytellers because there's so much downtime during games. And so they weave in stories. Yep. And baseball people generally are, they have a pretty good sense of humor. I mean, I don't know. We've talked about this before, but, you know, you work some football banquets and meet some football people. There's an edge to football people.
Yes.
You know, and they have great stories, but it's often about them. Mm-hmm. Baseball people often have great stories about team, just being a team, being around the guys. Yeah. It's a very different vibe with baseball guys, but they're all great storytellers for that reason.
Yeah, and they're folksy. I don't know, that to me is what play by play is. Whenever if you ask me play by play, I think of baseball, and
well, if you think about baseball and just being on a team, like as you played, like you said, you know, when you play baseball, you just have so much downtime.
Yep.
And even when you don't have downtime, say you're batting practice or you're fielding, you're still, it's not, just not regimented like football.
No.
You're still goofing off. It's all about camaraderie and stories and just being a D-wad with your boys. Like that's what baseball kind of is.
Well, in the dog days.
And football is just more like.
Well, it's very businesslike.
It's very militaristic. It's like fall in line, do this. And so baseball is just different. And that, and you can feel that with baseball, you know, with like people like Uecker when they talk.
Yeah.
They're just.
So it's different. And so I think the sports world is worse off today. And the fact that he wasn't doing every game, but the fact that he still had it at 89 years old is amazing. Because look. You know, we all know you get towards the end of it and you lose your fastball a little bit. And Uke didn't do every game the last handful of years. But, you know, you listen to his calls in his 80s and he was still sharp. And there's an appreciation. And I when I saw that today, I was bummed out. And that was the first thing I thought of was him saying that he didn't know how many more of these that he had. And it's true. None of us know how many more you have.
Oh, that's true. This could be our last show.
It could be, you know. So one of these days it is.
Buck, you have the last the sign off.
Well, New York down, they did it, and the crew will have it end here tonight.
Really a crushing end to what was a fabulous season for the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
And then he launched right into, after a pause, the post-game show brought to you because the guy was a pro. And he was on Johnny Carson, they said, over 100 times.
Yeah.
He went on Johnny Carson because he was just that guy that could sit down with Johnny and just, I don't know.
Shoot the breeze, man.
There's something great about those guys. Norm MacDonald, you mentioned, you know, Norm being great friends, and I've listened to a bunch of those Norm MacDonald stories with them, and Norm was one of those guys that you could just invite on a show and sit down, and even if there was nothing really that he was promoting, it was like, oh, here's Bob Uecker, and he's going to make you laugh.
All right, well, rest in peace. The great Bob Uecker dies at the age of 90.
Just a bit outside.
Born into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Harry Doyle.
I will never. There's just so that. I mean, everyone always gives like Caddyshack as the most quotable movie. Dude, Major League, and they're almost all Bob Uecker clips. I still to this love the post-game show brought to you by. Oh, hell, I can't find it. Except he dropped a GD, and he's like, you can't say that. Ah, no one's listening.
No one's listening anyways.
He just has a million of those.
All right, well, we, you know, Thursdays here are quite special.
Yeah.
And you may ask why. Well, there's no reason.
We just love our...
It's not a TGL Tuesday.
Thank goodness it's Thursday.
Yeah, TGL's getting raked over the coals this week.
But you're 2-0 at calling winners.
Yeah, I'm a TGL betting expert. But you don't know what we're talking about, do you?
The stupid Tiger Woods thing. I was like, TGL, can that thing go away finally?
Not yet.
Can it just die?
Not yet.
How do we take that thing out back and shoot it in a mercy kill?
Not yet. But it's doing a pretty good job of doing that itself.
so stupid.
But yeah, it's not a TGL Thursday, but it is an almost football Friday.
When is the TGL?
Tuesdays.
It's just on
Please
Tuesdays.
Please try to pay attention. Yes,
no, I will not pay attention every to that. Tuesday.
And you
I will
did
not.
Just say TGL Thursday.
You can't,
No, I said Tuesday.
You can't you get me Thursday. To pay attention
oh,
to that.
Shut up.
You could have free uptops on that thing, and I probably wouldn't
Free?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, just, you know, out there running around.
Oh.
You know. Letting them lose.
Well, maybe that's a good idea. You should send that to Tiger.
You should have something. You get some Perkins waitresses out there. They need something, man, because that thing is terrible.
Every Tuesday they play, so we don't have that tonight, unfortunately. Can't break it down, but we have the next best thing, football.
Hmm. We don't have football tonight.
Well, we get to talk about football.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to make a case for why Thursdays are important, but I'm not doing a very good job.
We got the Blazers, you know. That's
who cares?
Blazers, Clippers, come on!
Somebody in my in our sphere here at the Fan told us that the Blazers are about to pull the shoot.
They're about to?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? They're about to? They're
that's
not,
what I heard from my sources.
They're not pulling the. DeAndre Ayton has been pulling the shoot all
You're
year.
A loser.
Every time someone gets hurt, they have missed more games due to contusions than any team I've ever seen. I guarantee you Klingon with a mild sprained ankle is going to be out 3 weeks. They're on the Zion Williamson plan. I want you to also realize this. They gave up 40 points the other night in the first quarter to the Brooklyn Nets, right? One of the worst teams in the NBA. 40 points in one quarter. I believe 147 in the game. Did you happen to catch the scoreboard last night? In the NBA?
Yeah, I did.
Did you happen to catch the
I did.
Brooklyn Nets score?
I know where you're going.
Yeah. So a team that scored 40 against you in one quarter.
Yeah.
Put up in an entire game against these Clippers that you're playing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
67 points.
Yeah, they lost by 59.
Yes. 59 points.
Hee hee. Magic Johnson.
That is your
NBA catch the fever.
Yeah. No. Although Silver came out today and said that he is going to fix the three-point issue. He didn't say how he was going to do it, but
okay.
He's got concepts of a plan. He's going to bring down those grocery prices.
I have concepts of a plan.
So if they lost by 59
mm-hmm.
to the Clippers, and the Nets beat the Blazers by 20.
Yeah, they drilled them.
Perhaps the spread is 79 tonight?
I don't know what the spread
Clippers
is.
Clippers by 6.5.
Whoa!
That's
looks
it?
Like we're getting some value there.
Load it up.
Transitively, the Blazers should lose by 70, or I mean by 80, right?
It should be a blowout, yes.
Is that right?
You I'm going to go to that league.
Oh, about 80, but it's going to be a lot. And by the way, they lost to the Nets with Scoot having the best game of his career, and they still lost by 20.
Yeah, that's that defensive effort they're known for.
I think it was at one point I saw it was like 95 to 31, something like that.
Yeah, well, our sources around here are saying they're pulling the chute. It's begun.
All right.
Cooper flag time.
Tank. Well, they're not going to get
all late, guys.
What?
It's a little bit late for to pull the chute.
I don't think they are. Not according to this guy. It's not too late.
You got some ground to make
here. Here they come.
Jesus
Buckle God. Up, Wizards, or whoever's down there. Pelicans.
It is the Wizards.
Well, you know, Quick, who we don't hear much for anymore. He emerged the other day. He was at the Nets game, and he sent out a photo of the crowd. And I do believe Quick said that might be the worst crowd that he's seen covering this team since. Remember the weird, who was the little short fella that took over for a while that like had his suits were three sizes too big?
Caleb Canales.
Caleb Canales. Yeah, he said it was by far the worst crowd he's seen since the Caleb Canales days. I mean, there was nobody there.
Well, why would you go to that? Why would you go? Honestly, give me one reason why you would go to that.
Something to do, cheap seats, warm inside. I don't know.
Something to do.
I don't know. Sometimes it's fun.
Cheap seats.
Go to a game, hang out, you know, have some beverages.
Warm inside.
Yeah.
What so like a homeless guy.
Yeah, what else you do? It's like going to the library. Oh, it's inside. It's warm. I like popcorn.
Check your computer.
Yeah.
Check your emails.
Yeah, beer. Watch the Blazer Dancers. What is the red panda lady, right, that spins the plates? Maybe the quick change act. I don't know what they're doing in halftime, but something. Maybe Todd and Blazer up to something.
So is he saying apathy has set in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's too bad.
It's.
Well, it is. It's too bad.
Well.
A lot of Blazer fans around here. They want that team to be good.
Well, at this point, the best thing, as you said, is the capture the flag.
You're a loser.
Well, you just got to be like in the top six, because the way the lottery works, as long as you're in the top six worst teams, you got a pretty good shot. The drop from six to seven is huge.
What are they now? They're in the top six, aren't they?
I got to pull up.
I thought I heard from Jeff Russ today that they were sixth worst.
Yeah, let's break and we'll come back.
All right. Thanks. Thanks a lot for that. You're right. We've done an extra segment already.
Yeah, they're sixth.
Yes.
Because of that big loss to the Nets. This is a big loss.
What if Cooper Flagg just decides not to play here?
Pulls an Eli Manning.
What if he does?
Yeah, Flags!
Nah, he's super white. He's like from Maine.
Yeah, one Portland to another.
And Klingon is too, right?
From Maine?
I think so.
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
Block Lobster. He's from up in that. Yeah,
I think his Vermont, brother maybe like goes to Maine, and I think his mom went there too.
That's Cooper Flagg's brother that's going to Maine.
Oh, that's right. But Klingon's mom, I think, played there.
All right. Well, we're going to start with a little football, as I mentioned. Middle eight excellence next on the Fan. We did find out that Cooper Flagg's mom Donovan Klingon's mom played. At Maine? Is that where you...
Donovan Klingon, the Block
Lobster,
is from Connecticut.
Yeah, he's from Bristol.
Yeah, no, he's from the Northeast, but... And then he played on played on some AAU team in Massachusetts, so...
Do you think they say that about... Like, if a guy's from Oregon or Washington, it's like the Northwest. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Connecticut...
Well, a lot of people just say New England, and it's just that general...
Yeah, it's all the same. Although, I feel like Maine is another level.
Is it?
I don't know. I just feel like it might be. It's way up there.
I've only been Vermont is as far as I've been. I've been to Massachusetts and Vermont. Can't say that I've made it all the way.
And I think that's a lot of people. A lot of people that have traipsed through the New England area, I think a lot of them still haven't been to Maine. That's how far up there it is.
Can I ask the question?
Yeah. Well, it's an obvious question. Yeah. Why would you go there?
Why?
You wouldn't.
No.
I mean, unless you wanted to go to Portland.
What?
I mean, why would you go to New Hampshire? It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's just, there's really not a...
Vermont, you can ski a lot, right?
Yeah, you got the skiing in Vermont, and obviously Massachusetts. I mean, there's outside of Mass there, like, that's it. Like, if you're going to go there, you go to Massachusetts, and then you just say you've been to New England, and you leave.
Or if you go north, you never go further than New Hampshire.
No.
You know, so Maine just kind of gets, just gets forgotten.
Like, if there was a state above Washington...
Yeah.
You would never go.
We're lucky that Vancouver, BC is there.
Yes.
Because that's a wonderful city.
That's the only thing.
Because if that was not there and it was just some wasteland state, that's probably very pretty and great. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not Maine. But if that were up above Washington,
we wouldn't. At that point, you're just Saskatchewan is what you are. And there's no reason.
Without Vancouver.
And there's no reason to go there. No, even Vancouver is in...
Vancouver. Or I mean BC.
Yes. Yeah. But you go over a few provinces. And
if you took Vancouver, BC, or Vancouver out of BC, BC is Saskatchewan. It's the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's Maine. It's all the same. Yeah. Probably some big trees.
Yeah.
And maybe cold.
And some bridges.
I have a buddy who's.
And a lot of what?
I have a buddy who is an acupuncturist in Portland, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves it there.
Have you ever seen the SNL sketch about the white supremacists in Maine?
No.
It is hilarious. It's with Adam Driver. Look it up. And they're at like a white supremacist like rally or like a meeting. And they're talking about they want to create a white utopia, right? Where only the whites can thrive. And they're talking about what's going to make up the pristine white community. And Adam Driver keeps raising his hands and he goes, guys, I think we're just talking about Maine. And they're like, no, no. And then they keep laying out all the things. And he goes, I'm telling you guys, we can just go to Maine. We don't have to take anything over. Just go to Maine. It's really quite well done.
I'm gonna look up demographics of Maine.
I know that I'll probably have to join a white supremacist gang. And if you do, move to Maine. That's got to be the whitest state in the union, right?
I thought we were.
I think we're the whitest major city.
City, okay.
And that's Portland.
I tell you what, here's something you didn't know you needed today that you're going to get. This is why Thursdays are great here. We don't throw away Thursday.
No.
Your internet is telling me West Virginia is the whitest state in the U.S.
97.1%.
You are going to get Maine v. Oregon demographic breakdowns today.
Hmm. Well, see, this confuses me.
Because then you saw the next one down?
Yeah, so they're Vermont. Saying West Virginia is the whitest state. This is according to AI. It says West Virginia is the whitest state in the union with 97.1%.
That's why we can't trust AI yet.
And you scroll down right below that, in the same explanation, It says Vermont has a population of 99%.
A population of whites? Yeah. So here's, can we stop down for just a quick second?
We need.
We better.
Because Buckley brought it up. And now with the new operating system on all of our iPhones, When you Google something,
we're going to get a lot of.
Well, no, when you probably don't have this yet because you have an Android.
No, I have an iPhone.
No, he's back on. Oh, that you're iPhone back on. Life.
That's right. So Do you have the new operating system where the AI is the search? Yeah. Okay, so when you search something now, the AI bot takes over, and that's the first thing that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't used to be the case.
No.
What I have found, because we oftentimes have to search for crap because. Mm-hmm. We're basically just two dummies talking on the radio, so you have to kind of, get information and whatnot.
Yeah.
That AI is not very, very accurate. It's not very reliable.
Okay.
All it's doing is looking at, articles on the internet, some of which may or may not be true.
Hmm.
So if you really want information, I have learned that you kind of have, like, I look at the AI, what AI first brings up. But you had to really vet that, and you had to go down to the real search engine.
I found the census. So
So you had to go past the AI.
I had to go past it.
So all I'm saying is, just real quick, word of advice out there in radio land, that AI bit, it's a convenient thing, but it's not nearly as sound as Google.
West Virginia comes in at number 3, with a robust 94% white, but by a sliver. 95.6 to 95.4, Vermont, nicks Maine. There's like one black dude somewhere in Maine.
So those are the two whitest states?
They're the two whitest states.
Vermont over Maine?
95.6 to 95.4.
What are we?
Let's see where we're at. In Oregon. I got to scroll down. We're not in the top 5.
Now, someone said that Maine is not way up there. Because it's actually further south than Seattle. Well, it is way up there because guess what? You know what else is way up there?
Hmm.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Us. Even in Portland, we are way the hell up here.
Yes.
So yes, it's the same thing. Maine is the northwest of the east.
Yeah. I like where we're going with that. All right. See, now we're getting into this weird thing because there's white alone and then there's white mix.
So no, we want white alone.
You want white alone. All right. White alone for the state of Oregon, we're in the mid-70s, 74%.
Okay.
So.
That's way down there.
Yeah.
Way down the list.
Yeah. So we're.
Take that.
Yeah, we're in the middle somewhere. Well, actually, we're not.
We're in the top.
We're in the top 20, but we're not cracking the top 10. Like New Hampshire is 87. Kentucky 83, Iowa 84. Yeah, we're not cracking.
I always
thought
we were much wider than that.
Well, Portland is.
Surprised Nebraska is 78%. Feels like that'd be whiter.
I hate to, like, I'm not trying to like throw any shade, but
I just put two and two together.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
Yeah, I got you.
What do they do in Nebraska a lot?
They grow a lot of corn.
Do you know who's not growing corn? The whites, so there you go.
Wow. All right. Well, I think we need to break.
Yeah, let's do that.
I just got that.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Middle eight excellence is next on the list. And if you, if only what Riley Leonard believes is true.
I don't know.
Do you know him, the quarterback?
I do. He sucks, and I'm intrigued by him.
He came out. He sucks, but you're intrigued by him.
Well,
he had a hot take today.
He's not very good, but he's in the national title game, and
well, he's just the most innocent.
Yes, he just looks
You just want to pinch his little cheeks.
Well, I feel like he should be like a small town sheriff, like in Mayberry. He's like, if Don Knotts played college football, it'd be Riley Leonard.
Could not agree more.
Yeah. And who knew that, like, a guy that at one point we thought was going to be, like, a top 10 quarterback in, the NFL draft can't throw the football? It shocks me. As a former collegiate athlete, it blows my mind that there are big-time quarterbacks that can't throw the football. In all my years, I will never be able to wrap my head around the Riley Leonards and, who is it, the Alex Orgies of the world. You would think that growing up playing that position, someone would be like, all right, guys, got to probably learn to throw the football. And they're like, nah, fine, I don't need that. Just a quarterback.
But anyway, to bring it full circle, I think the Blazers are set to hire Joan Benoit as their next coach. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. Who is?
Joan Benoit, the runner, the racer. The long distance runner.
Oh, why are they?
I think she's still alive. I don't know. She's from Maine. Come on, man.
Okay. Boy, I missed that one too.
Yeah, so. I'm like, wait.
She's like the greatest athlete from Maine. So
you say
I think
so.
What the Blazers are doing is the Maine connection.
Yes,
you get it there. The Klingons, mom, and
Then just tell Cooper Flagg that his brother's got a spot on the roster whenever he wants. Go hire his dad to be like the strength conditioning coach.
All Maine. That's how you get over the hump.
That is how you get over the hump. And lobster is delicious.
Yeah. Yes. Middle eight excellence. We'll talk about Notre Dame coming up next. Here's Buck.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah. Sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, compiling some Maine versus Oregon data for you.
Yeah.
I know you're excited.
Who knew we were going head-to-head with Maine?
I was reading about Notre Dame today, and boy, I saw a number that really stood out. It you know, they call it eye-popping.
Yes.
I had to put my eyes back into my head, Jace.
There was that one dude that's in all the memes, and he's been in movies. That's like all he does is his eyes pop out.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Yeah.
He's famous.
That's his
that.
Bit.
Yeah, he's like in all like the Naked Gun movies or whatever, and there's always something coming towards him, and then he does a double take, and you know, that guy's made a nice career out of being able to pop the peepers.
Well, in college football, this season, the team that has won the middle eight, which is the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half...
Dan Lanning talks about it all the time.
Yeah. You know who really started the middle eight? That, like, really caring about the middle eight? Because the middle eight's kind of always been a thing. But
I feel like fairly recently that has become a that term and the focus has become a real thing.
Yeah. Bill Belichick gets credited.
He was a middle eight guy, huh?
Well, he was the first to really emphasize it because he was trying to keep the ball away from Peyton Manning.
Oh. Well, that makes sense. And then you defer, and if you can steal a possession at the end of the half. And
that's right.
Because almost every game now, especially if you're trailing, there's always that, hey, if we just get one here and get within one score, we get the ball at the half, go out, put together a scripted drive like we do in the first, and all of a sudden we're right back in this thing and we grab momentum.
Yeah, so that, I mean, the middle eight is not always workable, depending on how the game flows, but this is why everyone defers, is because they get the ball in the second half, and they want it last in the first half, and then at that point, you could technically put together 14 points without the other team even touching the ball.
Yes.
And flip the game. Well, this stat was eye-popping. So this they said that in college football this year, teams that win the middle eight win the game 70% of the time.
Huh.
But what's eye-popping is that Notre Dame outscored their opponents in the middle eight this season by a combined 131 points.
Good Lord.
They scored 148 and gave up 17.
Dude, that's absurd.
In the middle eight. And if you look at the last two games they've played in the playoff, they scored 17 against Georgia in the middle eight, really changed the whole game.
Yes.
And they scored 10 in the middle eight against Penn State.
Well, we know and that's where the Marcus Freeman speech comes in, right? They're down 10-0 to Penn State. And that's when Riley Leonard gets hurt. And it felt like at that point, I mean, we're all watching that game. It felt like Penn State was going to run away with that thing. The only thing keeping him in that game was Drew Aller. That should have been 21-0. So the backup comes in, they get a field goal, and that's the Marcus Freeman speech at the half, saying this is a one-possession game, we get the ball first, they go out, score on that, and all of a sudden it's a tie ball game, and Notre Dame was just off and running. That field goal before the half, that honestly, without that, I don't know if Notre Dame gets back into that football game. That's how big something like that can be.
Well, they've done it all year.
Yeah.
Which I just couldn't believe. 148-17 in the middle eight.
That's insane. Like,
it is insane. And it's I knew that they focused on it, and they did it against Georgia and did it again against Penn State, but I didn't know it was that bad. I guess Marcus Freeman has an analytics analyst on his staff.
Have you seen it? Like
he's right next to him.
Yeah, he turns to him all the time. There's a bunch of clips going on, and throughout the game, Freeman turns to him, and the guy it usually is just quick. Mm-hmm. Freeman will turn to him, and he has one specific question, and he turns, and the guy just gives him the thumbs up or nods, and Freeman turns right back around. It's like, all right, here we go.
Apparently, that guy is from Pro Football Focus, or was, and they put him on Notre Dame staff, and he is right next to Freeman to the point where people, of course, stupid internet, has started to think because of the whole Connor Stallions thing, there was internet got going on the fact that Marcus Freeman has to be cheating.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? Well, that guy is their analytics guy, and he stands right next to him on the sideline, and he does consult him quite often. It's really cool. how much Freeman has embraced that part of it and how much it's really paid off.
Yeah.
Because that team, I mean, they're not that great.
No, they're not. They win in margins.
They're really well coached, and the analytics are really playing in their favor.
Like, I was, it's funny you mentioned that. So I just wanted to go back and look, you know, like, I remember the USC game, which was kind of one of those that was like, it was a little pucker factor for a while. It was 14-14 at the half. And Notre Dame scored a touchdown for their 14 points with 2 minutes and 27 seconds left in the half. And they scored coming right out of the half to go up 21-14.
They did it again.
They did it again. I just was wondering, like, in their close games, what that looked like. Because a lot of their games, like, obviously Florida State and Navy, like, whatever, right? You beat those teams 52-3.
Well, that USC game, though, was about the two pick sixes at the end.
I just was in, and that's why that lead got extended. But that was a close game that Notre Dame scored right before the half, and they scored right after the half. So I just was intrigued to go back. I remember Texas A&M was a close one. Because, you know, they didn't have necessarily a lot of close games. Yeah, their schedule wasn't the toughest. So I just wanted to see where it was.
Anyway, pretty amazing. So watch that on Monday. Or listen to it, because we're going to have the game here on The Fan for you guys. Yeah.
Well, I think the big deal for Notre Dame, honestly, is you just have to survive the first quarter. I think with Oregon and Tennessee, and the difference, Oregon, Tennessee, and Texas are all very good teams, right? And Oregon and Tennessee, dude, the game was essentially over in the first quarter. I mean, they just got housed. Texas, on the other hand, some of that was Ohio State shooting themselves in the foot, but Notre Dame only has one way to win this game, and it needs to be played in the teens, or maybe, and I mean maybe, the low 20s. So if you're Notre Dame, middle eight, yes, but you got to survive. You have to get through the first quarter and force Ohio State to play a mucky, run-the-ball sort of game. And you know, I would assume that Ohio State is going to come out and be uber aggressive and just sling it around the field. And Notre Dame has to force them. Even if you're Notre Dame and you say, you just run the ball on us. I don't care if you run the ball and go on an 8-minute drive on me. We'll try to bow our back. You have to force Ohio State to run the ball and just play a low scoring, low possession game. Because if it turns into a track meet, And you give Ohio State the ball a bunch of times, dude, this thing could be over in a hurry.
All right, well, if only what Riley Leonard believed is true. What he said today, next on The Fan. Well, Oregon is about three times the size of Maine. Total population, 4.2 million here, 1.4 million there. Should probably turn on your mic there if you want to be heard.
Outside,
I mean, I can hear you.
I didn't want to. I was just mainly talking to you.
Broadcast to the.
I didn't care. I wanted to
the people of Portland.
No, I wanted to broadcast to the people of this studio right here. That's it. It was for your ears only. I was making such a hot point. No one could have handled it. Nobody. I don't even remember what I was saying.
So white Portland. If we're talking Portland's, city of Portland, Maine, 82% white. Portland, Oregon, 69% white. Mm. And if you're talking about African Americans, Portland, Maine, 8.9%, Portland, Oregon, 5.5%.
Wow.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Not only whiter, but also blacker.
That's correct.
What?
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go Maine.
Now, they cannot hold a candle to our Asian population.
Mm, yeah. That's how we do it. So. We do it. Well, the West Coast, we're big on the Asians. You know, it's a lot easier to get to the West Coast.
That's right.
I don't know many. I don't know many Asian families that immigrated to Maine.
Maine.
Although you get outside of Portland, you know. I remember once we were going into Bend, me and the BTJ, and we were checking out at the local Safeway, and the Asian cashier was very excited. She thought we had a new Asian family in town.
Yeah.
And we informed her we were just visiting. She did look at it and be like, "Oh, I figured I would have known." That's how few Asians there are in Bend.
Yeah.
She was like, well, "Oh no, I would have found out if there was another one coming in."
And GDP, Oregon 319 million, Maine 93 million.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what's
Yeah, there's not much.
No, I mean, look. Outside of Stephen King and lobsters, what do you got going on in Maine?
Yeah.
That Needful Things the Devil set up shop out there, you know?
Perhaps some lumber.
Yeah, there you go.
Acupuncture.
Yeah.
Big there. Well, anyway, Riley Leonard, the quarterback at Notre Dame, said this today. He said, quote, "We're the two main teams to just publicly display our faith the most. I truly believe that Jesus was looking over both of our shoulders throughout the season and put these two teams on a pedestal for a reason."
No, he didn't.
End quote.
Go away, you jackass.
Well, he's not going away. He's playing in the game.
Really?
Yeah,
so,
he is.
So you,
he's the starter.
Ohio State and Notre Dame are here.
That's what he believes.
Because Jesus.
That's what he believes.
Jesus wants them to be there.
Yeah. Do you think that at least for a night, Notre Dame is America's team?
Not after that. That
Well, you know, Will Howard's just as bad. If you don't yes. like the Jesus stuff, Will Howard's just as bad.
Well, I understand.
They're both like
Trevion Henderson is all about that too. He's like very, very
preacher-like.
I
have no problem with you putting your faith on your sleeve. What if that's great. You know, you're putting it out there. But really, Jesus watched over Notre Dame and Ohio State. So the reason why Ohio State beat Oregon is because Jesus needed Ohio State. So Oregon needs to be more godly.
It sounds like that's right.
If they were going to spread the gospel more, then yeah, might have seen an SMU or a Boise make it to the final.
What about my squad? We had Mormon Jesus Jewish.
I did think about
and
you.
And our
guys.
Jewish God.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Couldn't even put you in the top 12, huh?
No, we can't. We're not good enough. There's no offense to Notre Dame, but I promise you, if you want the most religious, like, stringent school in the country, it's BYU. We kick guys out. When's the last time Notre Dame kicked someone out for an ethics violation? Maybe Doug Gottlieb? We boot kids all the time for drinking and having sex. That is such a crock of, you know what?
Well,
someone said clearly Jesus had the parlay.
What does that mean? Like, he parlayed Ohio State and Notre Dame? Yeah.
And by the way, really, Ohio State? That's where we're going?
So does Jesus have every winning parlay then? Is that how that works?
Wait, what happened when Miami...
He's pulling all the strings, yeah.
When Miami was winning championships, did Jesus just take those days off? Because I don't think that was a very godly team. What happened there?
Would it be fun to win every sports bet? Like, I feel like that takes the fun out of it, you know?
No, I think it'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know the result.
No, it'd be fun to win like 90%. So that there's a little. Right. Sometimes you're so still going to lose.
there's like 10% I'm going to be wrong, just to throw them off the scent.
Well, it's like, well, I've said this. If you could do the Gray's Almanac, Back to the Future. If you don't know what that is, that's where
They had all the scores in it.
If you didn't have the Gray's Almanac and you just went back, I don't know, 20 years.
Ah, knowing what you know now?
You're missing a lot of bets.
What do you mean?
Like, okay, you don't have the Gray's Almanac.
So you don't know the results.
You do, because I take Isaac Rupp right now. I Bill and Ted your ass 20 years back.
Okay.
Right? But you don't have an almanac. It's just you.
I know, but I don't know what the Steelers did that year.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You're going to miss a lot of games, but that would be beautiful. To your point, you would win a lot because you'd be like, oh, I remember Seahawks Steelers Super Bowl. I know Pittsburgh wins, but you probably don't remember the score. You probably don't remember the over-under.
That one I kind of do. I think it was like the score was low.
Here's my point. You don't. Let's see what you remember.
Let's see if I can get that right. Okay, so the Seahawks... Steelers Super Bowl, the Jerome Bettis Super Bowl?
Yes.
I think the final score of that game was 21-10.
Let's take a look-see. Oh, my God. It was.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I told you.
But this is... So, my point is, if you went back without it, you would win a lot because you would remember big ones.
That would be more fun.
But it would be more fun because you would lose.
You don't know. Yeah.
You don't... You'd be like, wait. Especially in the non... Like in the early rounds of the playoffs, you would know that you would know Pittsburgh and Seattle are going to move on. I guarantee you would miss some of the playoff games. You don't remember that whole bracket? Who played in the AFC title game?
AFC. So that was Steelers beat to get to the Super Bowl.
2006, by the way.
That was Bettis. boy, I don't know. I'm just going to have to take a stab. That would be. I'm going to say...
Right, it'd be kind of fun.
2006, you said?
2006.
You could just guess Patriots and be right a lot of the time, I think.
For instance, in the opening round...
But I don't think they beat the Patriots.
Wild card round, you had Kansas City versus the Indianapolis Colts.
See, I think they beat Indy.
You're taking...
I think they beat Indy.
Wrong.
Oh, you mean in that game?
In that... No, yeah, that's the game. That's wild card round. Kansas City versus Indianapolis.
No, you asked me, who did the Steelers play in the AFC title game? I think they beat Indy. That's what I think. You switched the question on me.
Oh, no, I was talking about... sorry, I would guess I was referring to, like, wild card weekend. If you had to bet the wild card weekend, could you...
I mean, like Buck said, I'd be betting on the Patriots a lot. But I don't know, like, these games. You know, Colts, Chiefs, I don't know.
Yeah, so, like,
Colts, Chiefs. I think that might have been... I think the Colts beat them. They upset them. And the Chiefs were the big faves. Am I wrong, Bill?
I'm looking through here.
Dude, I'm going to win so much money.
You're like, I'm going to win so much money. Pittsburgh did beat Indianapolis 21-18.
Got that one right.
You got that one right.
And then the Colts, yeah, so the Colts beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs were the favorite. The plus money Colts, I would have bet that too.
Like New England, Denver?
That year?
Mm-hmm.
2006. I'll go New England.
No, Denver, 27-13.
Okay.
See, it's way fun.
Yeah, but I'm 3-for-4.
And then the other side, how about Carolina versus the Giants?
This is 2006?
Yeah, it's 2005 going into 2006.
And the Super Bowl is Steelers Seahawks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Giants there.
No, Carolina blows them out.
Damn it.
23-0. Washington, Tampa Bay?
Washington didn't win. Or was that the last time they did win?
Washington, Tampa Bay.
Tampa.
Yeah, Washington.
Damn it! Now I'm 4-3.
And then you'd get there. You know that Washington loses to Seattle, but Carolina, Chicago. For the right to lose to Seattle.
I think the Seahawks played the Panthers that year.
They did.
Yeah.
Carolina won.
Yes.
So it'd be a fun little...
Yeah, that's more fun. Yeah,
get rid of the... Because you know you can load up on the Super Bowl and win your money, but you put a few bucks and see what happens.
I want to do this more.
The NCAA tournament would be brutal.
Yeah, yeah, well, it'd be hard.
Yeah, it'd be real hard.
Did you guys just create the next great sports trivia competition?
I think so.
Yeah.
Go back and bet games that we know the results of and see how well you did.
Sides, totals, all of it.
Because you the only ones that I would... Even the games that I felt comfortable in, like, I know this team goes to the Super Bowl, you could still play around and have some fun with some over-unders. You could have some fun with, like rushing totals, because, like, you're like, I don't know, I think that was a close game, but, God, did they score late? Be way more fun than just having the
Biff
Tannen's Pleasure Palace.
The Red Sox coming back to beat the Yankees, you would load up on that.
Do you remember exactly what year it was?
Oh,
because they played a couple times.
Wasn't that 05? Yeah, but I would know the series. Like, you're saying I'm there, so I know if they fell down 3-0, I would know that's the one.
Oh,
it's 2005, and they had Johnny Damon and Millar and all those guys.
You're sitting there, you're waiting.
This
like,
is it.
3-0, and you come back and you
just
load up.
Like Rob, how'd you know that? Well, I don't know. I just
had a hunch. Had a hunch.
I'm lucky. And then somebody else said the big money would be betting on exact Super Bowl matchups. You could do that because you know all the Super Bowl matchups. Yeah. So the preseason, you just bet on that.
But again, I contend that's horse crap. So if I told you who played in the 2003 Super Bowl.
Well, but you're saying we're there.
Yeah.
So we know. So we get to. So there's it's more than just asking that question. I get to watch and then go, oh, yeah, this was the year that team played that team, and I'm going to bet on that.
Yeah, not at the beginning of the year. You would not know in the beginning of the 2003 year that it was going to be the Buccaneers and Raiders. There's no way.
I would, because if I'm there in 2002, I can, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, who played the year before?
I'm asking you.
Well, no, I'm there. So you tell me who played in 2002, and if you tell me that, I'm guessing I can figure out who played in 2003. Oh. You see what I'm saying?
I don't think you can. I think it'd be way more difficult. 2002 was Patriots-Rams.
Okay.
I think it'd be way harder than you think.
2002 Patriots-Rams.
Certainly it would be harder. You're loading up and you're putting a serious amount of cash. You would have a pucker factor. You're like, God, am I a year off? Am I a year wrong?
Yeah, you're right. I'm already backtracking. I'm going to say the next year. So you're saying 03?
Well, I already told you it was Raiders Bucks.
Oh.
But go 2004 then.
Okay, then after the Raiders and Bucks. Are we ever going to have to break it all?
Yeah, I've said it a couple times.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, you don't know.
You're like,
I have no idea. Raiders Bucks was 04, you said? 03? Yeah.
That was 03. Now going into 04. Patriots Panthers, you weren't getting it.
No, I wasn't.
You're losing money. You're not building Biff's,
you're right.
Biff's pleasure palace.
All right. Coming up next. Oh, hey, we're going to do something a little different. We've got some tennis trolling, high-level tennis trolling.
It's pretty good.
So we'll get to that when we return on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.